If you've got an actual real Bible or you just have your smartphone, go ahead and open up the two passages of Scripture. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, put a marker there. And then Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read out of that pretty quickly here, so keep that open. So Romans chapter 4, Luke chapter 1. And I'm really excited because as we finish service tonight, we're going to have a group of kiddos that are going to come up and sing Silent Night as we light the candles with you guys, and we really just demonstrate what it means to spread light. But tonight I want to talk to you about something that has been burning in my heart for a couple years now. And as I prayed about what to preach for Christmas, I kept hearing birth hope. Let me hear you say birth hope. About half of you were convinced that was a good message. That's right. Let me hear you say birthing hope. And it's one thing that if you would agree with me, which I think is a good idea because I think I'm right. But the world, one thing the world's lacking in is hope. More than anything else. And it's interesting how elections always bring this out. And if it was 8 years ago and your candidate did not win, there was a whole group of people that went into a dark despair and go, oh my God, and they lost hope. And then this last election cycle came out, and there's a whole other group of people whose candidate did not win, and they go, oh my God, or, you know, I've lost hope, right? Despair. And so it's interesting how in times of trial, our hope level really is exposed. And when Jesus came into the earth 2,000 years ago, he came with good news, but it was the good news of a message of hope. Let me hear you say hope. Real hope, by the way. It's not a political statement. It's not something you put on a bumper sticker. This is something that we're talking about, the epitome, the manifestation of hope come alive. That's who Jesus is, and that's who Jesus was 2,000 years ago. And he came with little fanfare according to the religious crowd and according to the political crowd. In fact, the political crowd was trying to kill him. Even at the beginning, do you realize that both the beginning and the end of Jesus' life, one, the political and the religious crowd are trying to get rid of him. And who did he come to? He came to the shepherds. He came to those who were not either political or religious in nature. And there's this powerful declaration that says, you know, rejoice today. I mean, Christy did an amazing job. The worship set was awesome. But just really talking about today, hope is born in the city of David. Like, I don't know what you walked in here tonight with. I don't know what you're in need of tonight when you walk into this place. But what I want to tell you, the number one gift I believe that Jesus wants to give to you tonight. And as we go home, we'll be exchanging gifts and having that fun and watching the kids as they tear into the paper and it goes everywhere. I think Jesus is sitting there the same way, like the way I'm going to be sitting there with my kids and grandparents. You know, you're waiting. You know, you've been waiting for several months to give your grandkids this present, and you're waiting for that moment where they go, ah, and start going crazy. Do you realize that the Father's doing that same thing with you right now? Like, he's sitting on the edge of his throne going, they're going to get it. Like, this is the moment. They're going to get something tonight. Something that I've been wanting them to have, and it's hope again. It's hope in my goodness. It's hope in my greatness. It's hope in my holiness. It's hope in the name of Jesus, my Son. He wants to birth inside of you tonight hope. Hope that will grow, that will expand, that will mature, and that will be passed on. Hope that's not just kept inside and wishful thinking, but a hope that produces real change. Read with me in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and it says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, which was a miracle in and of itself, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Let me hear you say Gabriel. Let me hear you say the angel of encounter. I really believe this wholeheartedly. I'm just a side note. Beginning the last couple weeks, I kept hearing God saying, I'm sending Gabriel back in with news, good news. And it's an angel of encounter. We've got some friends who are in Iraq, and they minister. They do an amazing, amazing job ministering to the Yazidi people, and just the number of people that have come to know Jesus Christ. And it's come specifically because they have these encounters, these divine encounters, whether an angel appears to them or Jesus himself appears to them. And they come from either an agnostic or a polytheistic background, or they come from a Muslim background. And all of a sudden, they have this divine encounter with Jesus himself, and all doubt goes out the window. And inside of them, something is birthed that's called hope, it's called faith, it's called life. And I think in the same way in 2016, as we end this, is that God doesn't want this just to be another Christmas season for you, where it's like, yeah, we had the family come together, and we kind of did the fun stuff and the nice stuff, and we did the religious thing. No, I think he wants to encounter you tonight at such a level, the way he did with Mary at the beginning of the conception of Jesus. I mean, this is something that's powerful that we must not miss. And so it says, Gabriel came to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." I hear what the Lord's saying to you tonight is, "Greetings, favored one. Greetings, my favored sons, my favored daughters. The Lord is with you. You carry God's favor." A whole large group of you rose your hands earlier and said, I know Jesus Christ. You're the favored ones of God. And he says, "Greetings." But look at Mary's response to him. She was confused and disturbed. And I don't know about you, if I had an angel appear out of nowhere, it might kind of freak me out a little bit. And sometimes, isn't that the way that God does to us? Is he comes to us in a way that we didn't expect. In other words, he gets outside of a religious box and he touches us, he impacts us, he brings a message, maybe in a messenger that you weren't expecting, and you feel a little confused and disturbed because it was beyond what you thought you were going to get from God. And God's saying, look, forget this. Don't be afraid. Look what the response is. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month." I feel like the Lord is saying this. There's some in this room that your hope in God died a long time ago. And you feel barren. Like you see people and they have God. It's not that you don't believe in God. You do. And you see other people have these credible encounters, but you feel dry. You feel empty. You don't feel like anything is happening inside of you. And what I hear the Lord saying to you is this. Tonight, your hope's going to be birthed again. And what you felt was barren, in that place is where God's going to encounter you if you're willing. He's not going to force your hand. But if you're willing to lay aside years of disappointment for an eternity of hope, that's a good trade-off. He's going to birth something inside of you that will grow and mature, and people will go, "Isn't that so-and-so who used to feel like that God had forgotten about them? Look how joyful they are. I mean, they're in their sixth month. I mean, it's just like, look what's happening." People are going to begin to notice. And maybe tonight, just like happens with pregnancy, right away, nobody else is going to necessarily notice. But you're going to notice. You're going to know something different has occurred inside of your heart because God's touching you. And just like happens with a baby, day after day, week after week, month after month, people are going to start to notice something different in your life. Because he's birthing hope inside of you. And there's going to be this point where it's going to go beyond conception and come into this place where it actually turns into a baby that grows. It says, What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age, and people used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month. But look what Gabriel says, for nothing is impossible with God. Let me hear you say, nothing is impossible for God. Let me ask you a very direct question. What have you told God is impossible? What circumstance, what situation, what thing in your heart have you placed beyond the ability of God to touch? And you said, it's impossible. I know God's all powerful, but this one thing, I'm not sure. And maybe you haven't voiced it. Maybe it's been a doubt in the back of your mind. And what God is saying, bring that out from the recesses of darkness and bring it into the light, because God wants to say over that thing, nothing is impossible. But you have to be willing to bring it out. You have to be willing to let it go and allow him to encounter you and touch you and say what Mary says. Look at Mary's response. Powerful. And remember, she's a young teenager when this happens. Sometimes we read these stories and we think, well, she was a mature woman. No, she was a 16-year-old, maybe a 15-year-old little girl, teenager. And yet, look at the response. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. When was the last time you got on your knees and said to God, God, I don't know how it's going to work itself out, but you've given me some impossible promises, but with you nothing's impossible. So let it be according to me, your word. May everything you said about me and my life, my family, the circumstance, the situation, my country, this world, let it, nothing be impossible. According to what your promise is, let it be done. And let that become your prayer life. Let it begin to this confession of saying, God, but what you say is true. And what you say has got power. And what your promise is going to do is far beyond what I can think and I conceive in my mind. Will you begin to partner with hope tonight? Would you lay aside the spirit of fear, the spirit of doubt, the spirit of shame, that orphan spirit that would try to keep you in a position of darkness? Will you lay that aside tonight and let it go and bury it in the past underneath the blood of Jesus and allow and begin to confess and profess what Jesus is saying in your life? Be it according to me. Hope is so important. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. See, all of us need hope. Isn't it interesting is that when the promise actually comes, it's not just one thing. It becomes a tree of life. Let me hear you say a tree of life. What is on the end of branches of trees? It's fruit. So you don't just get one thing out of the promise of God. It becomes very fruitful that then multiplies. Something you can take and let it grow. God wants to take those, that hope that felt deferred, that made your heart literally sick, and he wants to replace it with hope that your desire for him and his promises is going to come true. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:13. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And here's what I would tell you. If faith is the currency of heaven, then hope is the bank account from which we draw that currency. And love itself is what actually backs up and secures the currency. I want you to think about it in a different way. Do you understand that whenever you go into your bank and it says this is the FDIC, federally funded secured bank, that when you make that deposit, you have a physical bank account and you get to draw it out of a physical bank account. But no matter what happens, there's something that is securing your money to be good when you go to it next time. In the same way, it says faith, hope, and love. Faith is the currency of heaven. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he wants to give you money to spend. Like if you just had faith, this would happen. If you just walked in faith, you walk by faith, not by sight. But hope is the place that you keep that faith. It's not this far off place. It's like my hope is found in nothing else, the Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's that song Cornerstone, and I think it's what Hillsong wrote there, right? But my faith, my hope is found in Jesus. So it becomes this bank account that I get to go to and draw out faith, Not wishful thinking, but faith. And what backs that up is the love of God. The greatest truth in the history of the universe is the love of God. But if you don't have hope, if you lose hope, what do you have faith in? Where do you keep your faith? It kind of flutters out. And really, you hear about love, but what's love securing? Something for somebody else, not for you. So I'm telling you right now, I believe that hope, you got to build up hope. You need to seed into your hope. You need to secure your hope found in Jesus Christ so that you can access your faith. Look how God says through Paul's hand, describes Abraham's receiving of a promise from God. Romans chapter 4 says this, clearly God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law. In other words, not according to his righteousness or his human effort. I'm going to say that, I'm going to get to this in a second. I went to the funeral of a dear friend yesterday whose father passed away. His father was in Judaism, but it was like Kabbalah Judaism mixture. And it was really interesting as they were reading Psalm 23. And they first read it in the Hebrew, and then we read it in the English together. But so much of hope was found in human righteousness. He was a good man. He loved. He did this. He did this. He did this. And it broke my heart because Jesus was missing in the equation. See, unless your hope and your promises are found in Jesus Christ, it's in your self-righteousness. How good can you love people? How good can you be nice? How good can you be kind? If you've got a lot of money and you're extra generous, and look, you don't have to know Jesus to be generous. You can do that from your own righteousness, but those things are not going to save your soul. It's only found in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And then when you take generosity through the blood of Jesus, it does amazing things. It multiplies. When you take love through the blood of Jesus, it multiplies and does amazing things. When you take grace, when you take all those things that are not found in human effort but in Jesus' effort, all of a sudden we find a payoff that's beyond what we thought we originally had. It's not just my efforts to touch people, but it's Jesus' efforts through my life to touch people. But you have to have hope. And so it comes to this place where Abraham is given a promise to Abraham and to give to the whole earth through his descendants, based not on Abraham's human ability, but look what it says, on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And if we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope. Let me hear you say, there was no reason for hope. But look what Abraham said. He believed. I'm going to go back to the previous verse. Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates a new thing out of nothing. So even though there was no reason to hope, he kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. Let me read that again. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. Abraham never wavered in believing in God's promises. Does that mean that he didn't have moments where he goes, I have no idea how this is going to happen? No, I guarantee he had those moments. Do you think he had these moments, by the way, where he goes, all right, it's not happening in my timeline. Let me try to help God out a little bit. Yeah, he did. Look at Ishmael. He tried it through his self-effort. But I love how when we get to the New Testament through the blood of Jesus, the new covenant, even the doubts that we have now become righteous. Like, so God's not threatened by your doubt. He's not threatened by your shaken faith. But what he says is, don't waver in believing that I am who I say I am, and I will do what I say I'm going to do. Don't waver. Strengthen your hope. It says, in fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced, let me hear you say, fully convinced, that God is able to do whatever he promises. I'm going to ask you to say that with me. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't really matter right now. Because sometimes you start from this place where you don't believe. But you take a promise of God, a truth of God, you begin to declare it and read it even before you believe, because you know it's true. See, facts are not as great as God's truth. The fact of the matter might be you're in a desperate situation, but the truth is nothing's impossible for God. So read that with me. I am fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. One more time. I am fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises in my life. See, sometimes it's easy to believe that about somebody else, and it's hard to believe it about your own life. But you need to take this for your own life. And look what it says. Whenever you begin to partner with this truth and this promise and you begin to have hope, look what the result is. Because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. So my challenge you tonight is this. Take what feels like it's impossible. Be willing to let it go and begin to declare God is fully able, fully willing, and he will do in my life what he promises that he will do. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. I'm going to tell you, I felt that. That impacted, that connected with some of you. You've been thinking, nobody can be trusted. You might have been in a church that even the man of faith couldn't be trusted. Don't put your faith in people. Put your faith in Jesus. He is faithful. Faithful to keep his promises. He's the promise giver, and he's the promise fulfiller. Let me give you a couple key thoughts before we wrap up and sing Silent Night. When we talk about birth, birth means the delivery, not the conception. A promise from God equals this, the conception of hope. Let me read that again. Birth means delivery, not the conception. A promise from God equals the conception, the beginning, the seed of hope. But birth is the delivery on the promise. That's why I say God wants to birth hope into you. He doesn't want to just conceive hope inside of you. He doesn't want to just plant a seed inside of you. He wants to fulfill it. And he's looking in this season for people who are going to say, God, I believe that this is my season. The promises you gave me a long time ago, it's time, they're coming due. I can feel the pregnancy pains, the birthing pains. You just like, man, it is time. One of our young families just had a baby this last week. It's like, you know, when at the end, ladies, you know how it is. I don't know how it is. But it's time. It's time. It's time. God wants to deliver on his promises. But here's the thing about the birthing process. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. See, sometimes we think that, well, we get a promise, we name it, and we claim it, and then it's just going to be easy street. Now, in the birthing process, God's developing something inside of you in your character, perseverance, faith, hope. He's developing something inside of you in the birthing process that's going to be beneficial when you raise that baby. That's going to pay off dividends more than you can possibly imagine. So if you've been feeling like, man, this has been a long season, let me tell you right now, I've got some promises from God that I've seen fulfilled this year. And it overwhelms my heart because I've seen the delivery of some precious promises that came to light that were a couple years in the making. I've got other promises that are still in the birthing process, and I can feel the birthing pains. And it's difficult at times, but let me tell you what, I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to waver on holding firm to the hope that I have that God is able and willing to fulfill every one of his promises. How about you? Does that hit home with somebody in here tonight? God wants to fulfill. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. 1 Thessalonians 1:3-5 says, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you. Let me tell you, family of God, he has chosen you. I know he's chosen you. Because the gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. Colossians 1:4 says, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the leaning of your entire human personality on him in absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, and in his goodness, and of the love which you have and now show for all the saints, God's consecrated ones. Because of the hope, let me say, because of hope, is of experiencing what is laid up for you in heaven. Of this hope you heard in the past in the message of the truth of the gospel. Luke 1:34, we'll read it again. It says this, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age, and people used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. And Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. We talk about the Holy Spirit. Not because we're looking for a movement. Not because we're looking for an emotional response. Or not because we're looking for a specific manifestation. Other than this, nothing's impossible. But it's through his Holy Spirit, the very presence of God on the earth right now, that he wants to overshadow you and empower you. He wants to come and he wants to sow seeds of hope inside of you. So that you wake up tomorrow morning excited. Not because there's presents. Not because you got kids in from out of town. But you wake up tomorrow because you're like, God's faithful. Like you're going to wake up tomorrow and go, and that's the first thing out of your mouth. God is faithful. He is fully able to do everything he's promised me. And you're going to wake up tomorrow with this hope. I'm just prophesying over you right now. You will wake up tomorrow morning with this hope. Because of who Jesus is, and no longer will be, well, this that's the thing I do on Sunday in church. No, it's going to be the Savior that you live with on a daily basis through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to birth hope, not just in you, but into the lives of other people around you. So I want you all to stand up with me. And I want to pray over you. And then we're going to invite our kiddos to come up here in the worship team to sing Silent Night. I'm just going to ask you, go ahead and put your hands in front of you like you're going to receive something. Father, we just right now look to you. And I just release right now through the power of your Holy Spirit promises of hope, promises of faith, promises of purpose. Lord, I pray right now that you would sow into the hearts of every single person right now great hope, the joyful anticipation of your goodness. I just speak right now in every barren place that has been barren. It's felt barren. It felt like God couldn't do anything in this place in somebody's life. And I speak over that barren place right now. I just breathe over. Receive hope. Come alive again. You are no longer, it's no longer legal for you to say, God can't do this in my life, because you've heard the message of hope. You've heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he's alive and he still does what he says he's going to do. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just overshadow them. Every impossibility, overshadow it right now, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would just sow such seeds of graciousness, gratefulness, Lord, into us, God. And we just say what Mary said. Nothing's impossible through you. So may everything you said about us come true. And we declare this right now in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. God, give him praise. He's good. So for those who are able, go ahead and stay standing, kiddos. I want to invite you guys up at this point. If you know who you are. So here's what we're going to do as the kiddos. Go ahead and come on up here, guys. As our kiddos begin to lead us in Silent Night, you're going to have candle lighters who are going to come on the outsides and begin to light. So look for them. And once you have your candle lit, turn to the person next to you, light their candle. Let's spread the light of Jesus.
job, kiddos.
Merry Christmas. So let's pray together as a family of faith. Father, we just thank you, Lord. And we thank you that it's through these children, Lord, that each one of these kiddos represents hope. Lord, we just say, come and release, Lord, now, your promises, the fulfillment of your goodness. And we just thank you, God, that we get to worship you as a family. And we just pray, Lord, that all the plans that you have for us, be it according to your word. And we just release that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. From our family to you, Merry Christmas. We love you guys. Have a happy New Year. Remember, next New Year's Day, we will be having a service next Sunday. So tomorrow, sleep in, enjoy yourself, and be careful on the way out. Love you.